Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise
high as the
Ashe. Ashe. We'll pour to the creative spirit the great Ashe out of which we all emerge. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to that creative spirit by whatever name we know it, whatever name you hold in your heart, in your mind, whatever name your ancestors gave, whatever name you learned as a child, whatever name you believe it to be, whatever name you believe it to be in spirit or in science. Ashe.
Okay.
We pour to the first human beings who came into existence on this planet, the first human beings who raised the first structures, who cooked the first meals, who taught the first children, who had the first children, the first Africans, the first people who stood upright, who walked, who figured out how to stay on this planet, who figured out how to pass that knowledge on to their children and their children's children, the mothers and fathers of civilization. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour the next libation to their grandchildren, their children's children, those who raised the great early civilizations of Kemet and Kush and Monomotapa, the great medieval civilizations of Ghana and Mali and Songhai and Kanem-Bornu. We pour to those who great the great civilizations of the Igbo people and the Hausa people and the Kikongo people and the Mbara people, the great Mande civilizations, the great Kikongo, the great civilizations of Southern Africa, the Bantu people, the great civilizations of Southeast Africa, the Dinka, the Shilluk, the Nuer. We pour to those millions who raised the foundations from which the world would learn what it meant to be human in the world. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who, upon the arrival on the shores of people they had never seen before, found themselves captured and marched overland, found themselves perishing by the millions before they were held on the holding cells and the open air pens on the coast of West, Central, Southern, and East Africa. We pour to the ancestors who did not know as they were stripped of all clothing and sent denuded into boats, packed like animals and strewn their bones across the floor of the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. We pour to them who in the last moment on Africa grabbed the sand and grabbed the dirt and put it in their mouths and understood that the only thing they might have to preserve their place in that continent was their memory of that place and their ability to pass it on to their children. We pour to them. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to those Africans and their children who, finding themselves cast adrift in Santiago, Cuba, who found themselves cast adrift in Puerto Spain, Trinidad, and Port-au-Prince, Haiti, who found themselves cast adrift in New Orleans and Charleston and Mobile, who found themselves cast adrift in Salvador, Bahia, who found themselves cast adrift in Barbados and the archipelago that formed the Wayward and the Windward Coast. We found them in these places, learning Portuguese and Spanish and French, whose often first words was, "Oh my God, oh Madre de Dios," who found themselves praying to survive and pass on to their children the memories. We pour to those ancestors who are represented in the thousands buried in all the square miles of where we stand, and who sit here, buried before us in 400 caskets forged of wood from West Africa with the Dinka symbols. Each one of them, each woman, man, and child, symbolic of millions The children of those who could not be killed, we pour our shame.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who somehow survived the hells of enslavement and fought for emancipation in the Caribbean, the French, British, Dutch Caribbean, who fought for emancipation in South America, who fought for emancipation in Central America, who fought the struggles we refer to as the Civil War in the United States, who came out of that, marched out of enslavement through Reconstruction, and found themselves making great migrations, eventually ending up in places like New York. Their children's children, who making a way for themselves became our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our parents. Those who, when the first bones were discovered in this space, held their hands and said, stop, no more. We are here to speak for those who can no longer speak with their mouths. We pour for those ancestors, some of whom came to Howard University in 2004 and followed these caskets all the way back to New York. We pray to the great ancestors, the ones whose names we know and the ones whose names we don't. And at this moment, as we pour this libation, I would ask anyone who feels comfortable to say the name of someone in your bloodline who is no longer physically here, but who you know made it possible for you to be here. Go ahead, let's hear the names.
Haywood Carr.
Porter Griffin.
Thomas Jr.
Evelyn Glover.
We pour to the names that we hold collectively. Ganga Zumba in Brazil. Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, and Henri Christophe in Haiti. We pour to the great Avengers, Nanny of the Maroons of Jamaica. We pour to the great ancestors, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass. Say the names that you study. Who are the names of the ancestors that you have come to hold in your heart and your mind as you hope that you can do what they did for us, for your children and children's children? Let's say some of those famous names.
Malcolm X, John
Henry Clark,
Dr.
Jackson, Muhammad. Jacob Carruthers.
And finally, two final libations. We pour to those who make it possible for us to do what we do. We pour to these rangers who stand guardian over this sacred space. We pour to these Africans and these folks who have come from Howard University, the staff, the faculty, the administrators who brought us here today to bear witness. This is not a libation, but an affirmation, because their hearts still beat, their tongues still speak, their minds still think, and their minds still wish the best for us. We pour for all of those people who surrounded us on this journey today and made it possible for us to be here. We pour this affirmation of thanks, Ashe.
Ashe.
And finally, we pour to your children's children's children who will one day stand on this space and speak your name. Ashe.
Ashe.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Kitties, real life dreamers in the suburbs and the cities, riding around town, windows up, steaming, beaming, singing along to it in the cut, heavy streaming. Mama don't know what a little nigga feeling. Daddy been gone, and my brother stay tripping. For every little homie that's lonely, this is all for you. Give a fuck about the pony. All in the plan, as you grow, make the moments last. Even though life is super shit, moves fast. Cold in the realest, hands high, feel this. Spoken to the head, but remember shit's vicious. Never lose hope if you don't keep it golden. Always keep your feeling close, keep your heart open. To the chosen, so a dollar rolling.
This is just the right vibe. Turning loud if you need to. Stars in the sky, they will light your way through. Feeling alone, just know you are not. We won't leave you alone.
this is just a right vibe. Turn it loud if you need to. Just follow the sky. They will light the way through. Alone. Just know you are not. We won't leave you alone. It ain't a question. Oh, it ain't no one for guessing. No more than emotionally invested. Showing you all my imperfections. Oh, if I let you, don't take me for granted. Yeah. If I were done, then you could manage. Manage, yeah. Open with me, oh, we could be honest. Closer to me, oh, giving me status. I'm putting pressure. You'll only cut me if I let you. No, we ain't doing this just for pleasure. Either learn me or I'm a lesson. Going on. If you want me, don't take me for granted. Yeah, yeah. If I went for, then you could manage. Baby, oh, you're falling for me. Oh, baby, I caught it. Oh, we could be whatever you want, call it. Promise that you won't let me fall. Oh, oh, oh. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life. All night you could be telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted. Yeah. Cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. Do damage, oh, you could do damage, no, you could do damage, yeah, oh, you could do damage, yeah, yeah, do damage.
You are listening to Black Sister Talk, so you can breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com. Access the search portal and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Josh Jermaine. Hello, local listeners in the world. I would like to take some time and thank everyone for being here with us to breathe and ask that our listeners call in to participate in the community therapy discussion. Join us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe at 215-490-9832. Again, that number is 215-490-9832. Now let's get it. For my regulars, you know how it goes. And for my newer listeners, we like to start the show off by paying respect to our ancestors. Today's ancestral profile will focus on Zelda Jackie Ormez. Jackie Ormez is widely considered the first African-American cartoonist in the United States. She created four comic strips, Torchy Brown and Dixie to Harlem, 1937, Candy, 1945, Patty Joe and Ginger, 1946, and Torchy Brown Heartbreak Beat. Torchy Brown Heartbeat, 1950. Ormez was born August 1st, 1911, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to parents William Winfield Jackson and Mary Brown Jackson. Jackson owned and operated a printing business and was the proprietor of a movie theater. Mary was a homemaker who became a single parent when her husband died from a motor vehicle accident in 1917. Jackie and her sister, Dolores Jackson, were briefly raised by their aunt and uncle as a result. Jackie Jackson married Earl Ormez in 1936. They lost their only child, Jacqueline, to a brain aneurysm at age 3. They remained married for 45 years until Earl's death in 1976. After high school, Ormez obtained her first job as a proofreader for the Pittsburgh Courier in 1930. Ormez also completed freelance pieces on police beats, court cases, and human interest topics. Eventually, she began to produce comics for the newspaper and established her career as a cartoonist. Her first comic strip, Torchy Brown and Dixie to Harlem, ran for 12 months between 1937 and 1938. Torchy Brown and Dixie to Harlem described a small-town girl who migrated north to become an entertainer in Harlem. The cartoon resonated with many of the newspaper readers because it reflected the then contemporary struggles of hundreds of thousands of African Americans who were part of the Great Migration from the South to the North. The reason for the abrupt end of the popular cartoon strip is not known, but it is presumed to be due to an end in her contract. 7 years later, Ormez returned to cartooning at a newspaper, the Chicago Defender, in 1945, with a brief comic strip titled Candy, which ran for 4 months on the editorial page. She also returned to journalism at this time, writing as an occasional special assignment reporter and as a social columnist. In 1946, Ormez created the comic strip Patty, Joe, and Ginger, which ran for 11 years. This was one of her most influential comic strips. The little girl, Patty Joe, depicted in a comic was thought to be a representation of her deceased daughter, Jacqueline. Also, many of the cartoons contain political and social satire thoughts to outline some of Ormez's own opinions about issues of the day. The popularity of the comic strip led to the creation of the Patty Joe doll in 1947, the first African-American doll based on a comic character, with features painted on by the cartoonist herself. The doll is now a highly prized item for collectors. Let's lift Zelda, Jackie, Ormez up in spirit. What a phenomenal woman. My God, today. Can you believe the first African-American cartoonist? Zelda, what a name. And such a beautiful woman, might I add. Mm-hmm. Oh, what's going on with you? What you think about Miss Zelda?
I love Zelda. I think it's great that we have ancestors that can teach us how to give us a blueprint, you know, on how we can navigate what's going on. You know, I'm a true believer that ain't nothing really new under the sun, and it's great that we have ancestors that can teach us how to up our game, you know, by leaving a legacy that we can see that what Zelda has left for us, though. So it's great to hear about our ancestral profiles.
Wonderful, wonderful. I appreciate your feedback, because I'm just sitting here looking at this woman and looking at all of the things that she has done, and it's just an amazing thing to acknowledge her and be able to speak on people that we don't necessarily hear much about. And also want to add that it was really nice to also see Google share that same sentiment that we just did here on the show today. So let's lift Zelda, Jackie, on this up in spirit and get on with today's topic. Because man, it has been far too long. I have not been on the air for a few weeks. I lost track of time completely, and I couldn't even tell you how many weeks it has been since we have not been together. But I can just tell you it has been so long. Okay, too long. And so we are going to deliver a great show for you guys today to wet the palate. And hope that you come back next week so you can really get a taste of your own medicine. So let's get it, Josh. What you got for us?
Let's get it. Hello, everyone. I miss y'all as well. I really do. My name is Josh Jermaine, the true mystical prophet who always brings hidden truth to light. Today, we are discussing millennial antebellum that is taking place in the hectic and chaotic times in 2020. Last time, we had a great discussion of the grown-ass child and have decided... No, let's say it again. We had a great discussion of the grown-ass child that have decided to take the Peter Pan approach and stay in Neverland. I see the millennials and the younger generations are starting to take this stance and choosing to live for themselves as a top priority. We are beginning to see a separation between the ones that are fearful of change and the others, which are a few, who are becoming the change they want to see at all costs. I cannot agree with Lauryn Hill more than when she said that we've been told to protect our outer man while our inner man is dying. I stand on that. We are still living in a world where millennials are deciding to stand and fight for their inner child, which has resulted in our traditional norms being challenged within our family structure. Due to this pandemic and having the craziest year, as I think we all can agree on, that 2020 has had an impact on us collectively, we can start to see that we are starting to see living into a new world. You know, in order for us to go to this new world, we got to have this conflict, and that's going to be this antebellum, which I hope that, you know, as a collective Black people, we can come together and come up with a medium here. But I think the newer generation, though, I think our quest and our desire for us knowing who we are and honoring our ancestors, though, that have led a blueprint for us, that we want to just make them proud, and we can't make them proud by doing the same thing. We got to have a change, and this is what this discussion is all about. So I'm excited about it and love to hear the feedback, and let's get into it.
Okay, Josh, okay. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. So happy Saturday, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk. I am Miss Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. Today's discussion, like Jess said, the millennial antebellum will serve as part two to the grown-ass parent-child, shedding light on the calm before the storm. The last discussion focused a lot on how the grown-ass parent-child came to be. However, today will be more about millennials breaking cycles and what this may look like in real time. Millennials are turning the switch, and they seem to be more determined than ever to break generational curses. More than ever, this is a major step in the right direction. However, dysfunctionality in these families have hindered this process, and when this is gone, ignored, we see chaos. This discussion will take on many forms, looking at how cycles have been broken in relationships, careers, families, being happy, finances, education, spirituality. I think I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who's listening, but I believe it was Ava DuVernay who said she wants to be her ancestors' wildest dream. And so I want to echo that sentiment because I really feel that and I honor that because I remember growing up and hearing those stories from my elders and those experiences, and that learned behavior that had been implanted in me, from my upbringing that gives me those chills when I think about the suffering that is in my blood. When I think about the experiences that have been passed down to me, and even though I have not experienced these things myself, there has been created an imprint of some sort of fear or some sort of survival tactic that I would need to utilize in my future. And so I think that this conversation will also be one of bridging a gap, creating a bridge between the generations, and also respecting those elders that came before us and helping them to see how we are now creating that succession and building that legacy for the future generations to come. And what that, like you said, what's going to have to happen is some things are going to have to become really radical. Some things are going to have to change because what we have to pay attention to, people, is things have not been working right. Mm-hmm. Just had a trauma group today, a sister talk group, which I was very blessed to be a part of, where we were talking about this trauma and the stress and things like that. And I just want to say the elephant in the room has to be addressed. The elephant in the room has to be addressed. And it is, for starters, okay, let's just start here, Josh. We have to talk about the trauma. Because this what goes on in my house stays in my house has created some unprecedented amounts of mental health. Come on, family. We have kept secrets that will kill you to repeat because of this illogical premise. And so when I talk about millennials breaking cycles, I'm also looking at millennials talking about what the problem has been and not letting it go up. Ignore. We cannot ignore the issues and act like they aren't issues and to simply say, that's normal. That's okay because that's how it's always been done. Mm-hmm. And not questioning things. I always go to that recipe analogy. People cooking food, following a recipe or following what they've seen somebody do, never thinking if there was a better way to do that versus, oh, I'm just doing it that way because that's how I always seen it done, or that's what the recipe had always called for. Sometimes this recipe needs an addendum. You got to change that. You got to review and revise and be okay to say that didn't work and move on instead of trying to keep making something that don't work.
I think the thing is, though, I think with the new generation, we're starting to see that the new generation are more sensitive. And I think the older generation was all about, you know, we got to be tough. We got to be hard to make sure that, you know, we can challenge white supremacy, which is understandable at that time. I think the newer generation, I think they're a lot more sensitive. We are a lot more sensitive about our surroundings, about, you know, our interactions, about who we are talking to. What activities we are doing, how invested we want to be on things. Like, we're so sensitive that it's a strength where we're starting to notice the problems are way more deeper than just saying, you know, it's our family. You know, we started to see it's the whole community. It's everybody that we are in relations with, though. And I think the newer generation, we taking that approach of saying, you know what, enough is enough. Like, you know, we hear ourselves say these experiences about ourselves to people that are age. And we see that it's a similar thing. You know, who really protecting us? Who making sure that, you know, we are where we are at? And I mean, it's no offense to the older generation. I just think it's a huge clash because we don't live in that old school world no more. And I think, and so now it's like everything has flipped over. It's like now we are the leaders, and now it's like the older generation don't have to follow what we are doing. But I think sometimes we don't want to have that rites of passage, and I think that's when we start to see that conflict, because we do got to address the trauma, but then we got to understand what happened to the trauma when we let go of who we are. I mean, ain't no disrespect, ain't no worse disrespect to me as a human being than you letting go of yourself. And the fact that we got trauma happening in families and this stuff is going on, these people in these families aren't being protected than the person that's really the victim in these situations. You know what I mean? So it's like, why would we keep on standing up and being loyal to somebody that's not even respecting us? You know, so I think our sense of self is so much stronger. You know, we are starting to have a stronger sense of individuality, being more authentic, you know, and I think that's a great thing. I just think sometimes, though, it can start with that conflict with the older generation is not probably used to having that type of freedom, you know, but I mean, I got to give us credit. We work for it because we are acknowledging that we don't want to live the same way that has been lived for us, you know, and I think sometimes it can turn to a conflict because we start saying like, oh, our ancestors, no, our ancestors want us to do something differently. I know everybody that has passed and left us on this earth, I guarantee you they want to leave a legacy to make sure that we do something different or up our game in some kind of way. So I think nowadays perception is so important. And I think that can be either the healing ground for older and new to for us to kind of merge together, or it can start a clash, you know. But either or, though, we got to keep moving forward and we can't look back.
Yes, I think I heard two things that stood out to me was the respect, because the respect is always an issue. And I think that when you really see a divide of that is when you're dealing with whoever you would look at as the parent in your family, or your mother, your father, your auntie. And if your mother wasn't raising you, your grandparents. And so if they are still around, you are very lucky and you should be very proud, because there's a lot of people who have been raised by their grandparents who just don't have them right now. And so you have children lost trying to figure it out. You know, that's one part of it. The other part of it is you do have your parent and you have grown to be an adult. You may honestly have more education than your parent right now, depending on how, you know, where your parent lies socioeconomically in this world. And so you may have more education than your parent, which will create an issue. It will create some sort of resentment or jealousy. And it may not be on purpose, but it just somehow happens because they recognize where they are in life and where you are and how you are trying to help them, but they're still trying to assert themselves as a parent. And so they're not looking at you as an adult. They're looking at you as a child. And furthermore, that's very disturbing that they would even go as far to disrespect their child. You know, we have to get away from disrespecting our children and calling them names and discarding them. That's the kind of stuff that stays with these children throughout life and, you know, in relationships. Okay, and to be a millennial and sit there and say, hey, this is a trauma you have to address, because if you don't, this will set you up to be in nothing but toxic relationships, because this is a norm. And when people don't like you, that's how they show you they like you, because you've been told you ain't shit and go sit your dumb ass down or call to every bitch in the book. And things like that. So when some man call you that, or some woman, you know, it's like, hey girl, hey, instead of excuse me, this is not my name, you know, that's not the way to address me. I would prefer you to address me like this. And if you're having a conversation with an adult who has always been disrespectful, and you know that ain't how it goes in the real world, especially if you're trying to be successful, that ain't gonna fly. It's just not going to fly in certain rooms. And so if you're not aware of that, you're not going to be successful. And so dealing with these parents that are disrespectful like that is quite challenging. It's going to be quite challenging because you are going to be trying to stay respectful to this parent and be right, because we know we got to honor our mother and our father. That's what they told us, right? But it becomes pretty damn hard to do so when this person ain't showing you a level of respect? I mean, meet me in the middle. Don't put me underneath you. If I'm your child, treat me as if I'm of your blood. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm of mud. That's what I would say to that, because that's what you're talking about. You're talking about some respect right there. Mm-hmm. And that has to be addressed, because if you're going to, at the same breath, need that son or daughter to do everything under the sun for you, we need to come with a level of respect around here.
Mm-hmm. You better say a huge respect. And I mean, and the thing, I just think we just got different ways of how we were brought up, because I guarantee anybody that's hearing this of an older generation, they could probably look at how their parents was raising them to give them that, you know, that perspective. I mean, but yeah, it's definitely a respect level, though, because I mean, I think as us millennials, I think we bring something to the game that I think we will always be leaders. I think if anything, all them leadership skills, they talk about us being entitlement, us being creative, us, you know, going against the, you know, the forte. I think that's going to pay a huge benefit, though, if people just show respect to the younger generation or the ones that are giving the respect out but still not getting it back. Because I mean, even when you sit back and think about the internet messed up the game and really just started a whole war with the younger and old generation, because the older people are saying, oh, well, you know, I do everything in person, and now we in coronavirus, and everything is all virtual, you know what I mean? Who are you calling to come get help from, you know what I mean? It's probably going to be them America Online babies in them 80s that was on dial-up that eventually lived up into a world where now we are in fiber optic internet, you know what I mean? So it's like, we should work together, but we can't be working together and be belittling and undermining, you know, what the ancestors and even what our genetic codes have given us. We are gifted people, but I just think that sometimes we got to learn how to just, I agree with you saying, what we do, yes, the grown child do not want to tell the parent. I mean, I forgot how you worded it, but it's just that we need to learn how to just say, you know what, we need to not show respect to each other, but first and foremost, we got to understand that we got to stay in each other's lane. And now we are the forerunners. I mean, and so they never told us that, though, but it should not be accepted just because they treat us like kids, and we got to keep being kids. You know what I'm saying? Because then it's going to have to be a separation. And that's what we don't want.
See, I think you missed a big part of that, big piece of that right there when you said it. Mm-hmm. They never told you this was coming. They never told you to be ready for this. And see, what you got to understand is they were not ready for this. We were not ready to be put on a ship and transferred across the sea. Come on, we wasn't ready for that. These are traumas on top of traumas. Did you see the art for the show? I mean, this what we are up against right now is literally trying to undo all of the trauma that has happened to our mothers, our mothers' mothers, mothers' mothers, mothers', mothers', mothers, and so on. Because everyone up into this generation has not questioned things. This generation is questioning things. This generation is bringing truth to light. And see, you got to understand that it's been a weight on your back that you have yet to pay attention to, because you have been told that that weight is not there. You have been told that that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be down. You ain't supposed to have nothing, so you don't get nothing. You ain't trying to have nothing because you ain't supposed to have nothing. And somebody sitting on your back telling you you ain't going to have nothing. That's what this is about. This is about breaking the cycle of realization. This is about coming to the light and saying, I am somebody, seriously. And I can do whatever the hell it is I need to do to be that somebody I want to be, and be who you want to be without no law, no strings attached. You can do that. This is what that wildest dream is, being able to get up and create, being able to create a cartoon strip and live off of doing what you love and what's in you to do. That's what this is about. This is about using your innate gifts and bringing truth to the light and of who you are. We just talked about life purpose and life paths. This is bringing a whole thing full circle right now when you understand that there has to be a reckoning. There has to be. Otherwise, we're not going to get to that financial freedom. You know, I talked to one of my good friends who work in banking, and she was letting me know, like, man, these people are coming in here cashing in stocks, cashing in bonds from the 80s, getting $50,000 off of those bonds from the 80s. He had $0 in his account. This man has $75,000 now just from cashing in some old dusty ass pieces of paper that barely survived from the 80s to now. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Just the insight and the foresight to see what is the next trend, what's going to happen. We have not been in a position to think about those things because we have been dealing with meeting basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
First order priority. You understand that?
Yeah.
So okay. We have to share baggage. We have to share baggage today. We got to share all of this, what goes on in our household. Mm-hmm. All of these things is just holding us back. Holding us back.
And we got to sit back and think at what cost. At what cost is that holding us back? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is the reward for all of, you know, for us living the trauma, you know? But I think, and that's one thing I like, you know, we can look at this from either perspective, but I think we can start to see that we got a little bit more mental health awareness going on in 2020 than we probably had 10, 20 years ago, for whatever reason it may be, because I think now we're starting to see that we are starting to honor our trauma responses, you know, from things that happen, you know, to us or around us. And I think, you know, we got to acknowledge, you know, I think everything is becoming more aware now. I think we are starting to see things what they are. And I think that can be seen as somebody that can be like, oh, it's not really going on, you know, or just something like, nah, you can't even ignore what's going on no more. It's like, it's a reality. And we do got to look into the home and, you know, and stop the trauma that's going on in our home and stop trauma silencing, as we talked about before. I just think that trauma is so deep. We still understand it and define what trauma really is. You know what I'm saying, though? Trauma is a very deep thing that I think we are finally getting to the bottom of it. You know, we got some mental illness, but trauma is a life-changing experience that, you know, we will always have to learn how to cope and learn how to do things differently than what we was accustomed to before we had these experiences. So I couldn't agree with you more with what you're saying, though. I mean, I'm just taking back off what you're saying, because, I mean, it is the trauma part. We got to understand that all this trauma has happened. But, I mean, how do we go forward in 2020, though, when we're going to have to deal with more trauma going forward? It's like we have to meet up with a ground where we are not self-sabotaging or self-destructing ourselves. And we got to do whatever it takes to do that.
And that's just staying yourself and looking self right in the mirror and being honest with self. You got to take off the facade. You know, you got to be your authentic self. Whatever your authentic self is. If your authentic self is weird and quirky, goddamn it, love your weird and quirky self. I'm telling you, if you're a happy-go-lucky person, acknowledge that and understand that you got to protect your happy-go-lucky person by all means and keep negative energy away from you. If you know you're a toxic person, you're going to gravitate to negativity. And so I pray that you don't come find me, because I don't want nothing to do with you. But you would try to find someone like me who has this positive energy, this happy-go-lucky vibe, and you would gravitate and try to drain that energy. And so what I'm getting at is you got to understand who you are and what you are and what you're going to deal with. So that's boundaries. Okay, let's look at how we are going to be dealing with these toxic family members and these parents and these friends. This is what the discussion is about, the millennial antebellum. This is the pre-war. You understand me? Because the war is around the corner. We just getting over 2020. 2021 finna be something else. I'm talking about everything. I ain't gonna say it. I ain't gonna say it because this ain't the topic for it. But man, y'all Democrats something else. I'm trying to tell you. I mean, we got all kinds of brink, and I do not want to be the type of person to speculate, but I got common damn sense. Let me just put it like that. So let's just get ready for what's coming while trying to navigate and break these cycles. You know what I mean? Let's really think about that.
I think you got to take the radical approach. You got to take the radical approach because it's like, I think the question I asked you, though, just, I know we're discussing it, though, but my question would be, why do we feel guilty to let go? I think it's a guilt thing that we don't want to let go of the family members because we want to feel like, oh, we let them go. It's going to be like, you know, that's my family member and I love them, though. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't want to, you know, we always go with the family thing, though, but I think we, in order to have a solution, we gotta have a radical approach. And sometimes, though, you gotta back off from these toxic family members, though, and leave them alone, you know, and leave them where they at, because they're not never probably gonna change, you know what I'm saying, though? And then you gotta sit back and ask yourself, how much do you really want this to happen? You might gotta change the people around you, though, so that you can become the change you wanna see.
Who you telling? Ask Harriet Tubman that question when she left her sister back down that plantation when they didn't wanna run away. Ask them that. You understand that? People been doing radical things for years. We just have become so adept to trying to do what's comfortable. Sometimes you gotta make a move. Sometimes you gotta bust one of them moves. If you don't, you're gonna be still in the bottom of the bucket with the rest of the crabs trying to grab somebody else's claw. No. I'm trying to let you know. That ain't gonna work out. See, even my pastor, he had a good teaching where he talked about the devil and how it presents itself in your own family. You know, the devil is busy and smart. Who better else to get you to go on your own values than somebody you love? How easy would that be? So I question everything. You got to have discernment. You really do. It ain't even really about guilt. I think it's more about the love. The love. Mm-hmm. I don't really look at it as the guilt of it all. It's the love for me, because what has been instilled in me as a value is to love your family, protect your family, and do whatever you got to do to make sure your people is good. You know what I'm saying? That comes from working a job and having a single mother and seeing her struggle and her not even having to tell me to give her some money on these bills, but me just having the common sense to see my mother struggling. I love her. I'm gonna go get a job and work to help her. These, you know, that's just what it is. It's about seeing where the slack is and getting in them wedges to hold these pieces together. Because what we gotta realize is we was those kids sitting down watching those commercials with the "this is your brain on drugs." This is the product of the crack era and everything else that came with the economy with Reagan and certain people in office and Nixon and stuff. You know, we're dealing with the aftermath of that. And our children are going to be dealing with the aftermath of the Trump era and it's COVID, which is crazy. But that's just how these things come to be. And so it has to be acknowledged that some of these national things and some of these things on the macro level affects our micro level and our eco, you know, our family ecosystems. And so we have to look at that too, how our choices being made that affect, you know, your welfare, your education, your public transit system, things like that. All these things that can really hit a person who does not have enough resources or a higher socioeconomic status to be able to afford these things. You know, you dealing with how do I cope? You looking at parents who was doing drugs or going to the party every weekend because that was a way for them to blow off some steam. They ain't tell you what was going to happen in between time. You understand that? And so that's what you up against. You up against a grown-ass parent child who was still out here being a kid because being a kid was fun and what was comfortable and content, and it helps them to feel good. Running around here like a 15-year-old when you're 35 and 45 and 55. Questions. I just got questions. I say, damn, what you been through? I say, damn, there's some trauma there instantly because I look at the behavior. I say some trauma is over in there. you need to talk about it so you can be moving the way you need to be moving. Otherwise, you out here just lost and just a deer in the headlights. Anything that happened. You going with the flow. See, I'm a millennial. I ain't going with the damn flow. I'm making the flow. I said, no, this ain't my flow over here. I'm going to go ahead and make my flow over here. You know, we got people out here doing all kind of stuff. These, please believe me, these millennials ain't out here trying to be like they parents. They out here having thruples and frupples and group relationships. What kind of stuff? I mean, some of this stuff is pretty damn radical for me, and I'm a radical. But this is pretty damn radical for me, okay? What? No. I got to be real with you. Some of this stuff is just a little bit puts question marks in both of my eyes. You know, like you said earlier, the social media. Oh my God, you got Shaq on the giving the big eyes to Meg Thee Stallion and stuff like that. This technology and all this stuff that's happening is pretty bad. It's creating some radical moves. This women liberation that we got going on right now, that's pretty damn radical. We got so many radical movements going on at once. Nobody can pay attention to just one. I mean, we got the LGBTQ radical movement. I mean, my God, people are out as sis and jizz and all kind of stuff. I didn't even know it existed. I'm just learning. So please understand me when I say I am not trying to come down on you. I'm just trying to learn about it because I don't want to offend them.
Exactly. That's a big thing, though. Don't want to offend nobody, but you still want to, you know, learn it out. You know, you have to, you know, like what you said before about the toxic boundary, you're going to have to learn how to outgrow the people that are over the ones that you love. You know what I mean? Because, you know, self-growth and self-love is the master key of all of this. You know what I mean? But it's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of radical things left and right. I mean, that's why it's so important to know yourself, you know, and to, you know, look on the inner self about yourself, about things, even males, you know, that's why I'm glad to talk with, you know, a woman is talking to a man, because, you know, the man got to be able to talk on their inner self too, to know, like, okay, who am I? Because it's so easy to get lost out here in this world that we're living in, you know, so we still got to be able to dive that in to know, like, you know what, we got to understand ourselves at all costs, though, no matter if we're not going to be accepted, we're not going to be validated, if we're going to be seen as being the bad guy, the evil guy, whatever you want to call it, though, knowing yourself is probably the number one thing that we got to work on the most. And I think that's where we at right now. You know, it's just that it's so easy to take into what TV's saying. You know, you talk, like before you said the macro, we got to look at social media, we got to look at programming, TV, you know what I mean? All of these things are building a reality about what's really going on that might not even be real, you know what I'm saying? But we so programmed by TV, by phones, by our families that, you know, we starting to see the glitch, they will say, in the Matrix, you know what I'm saying? We starting to see it now because it's like, if you don't know yourself, and you know what they say, if you're not thinking for yourself, somebody else thinking for you. And we definitely in that in 2020. And maybe for the next 5 years, you know what I'm saying? I think we're never going to go back to what the way things are. And I think the more the people that realize it the most, though, is probably going to be the most effective and going to be the new leaders.
You got that right.
And they're going to be new leaders.
They're going to be new leaders because what?
No, I was just saying they're going to be new leaders, though, because they understand that in order for us to go into this new way of doing things, we got to let go. And we, in order for a new door to open, we got to close the doors behind us. You know what I'm saying? That we just can't just have it the way that we want. We got to stay present, you know, and we're going to be leaders because we're going to stay present in the moment. And we're building a new life, a new world for the newer generations to come. So it all depends on how you see it. You know, I think in 2020, we can see this as being a war where, you know, it's going to be ruthless, it's going to be, you know, a demise, it's going to be bad, it's going to be negative, or we can look at it as being the mass awakening. So it just really just depends on how you see things, though, because these things are waking people up, you know what I'm saying? Some people are now falling to see that I don't want to be programmed, you know what I mean? And then you got to see why people want to stay programmed, because if they're not programmed, other people don't want to stick them into that program still, you know what I'm saying? Outcast them and make them feel bad and stuff. So I think we're starting to see that, okay, then, you know, it's going to be some ones that's going to awaken to what's going on, and there's going to be some that sleep, you know what I mean? So, you know, it all depends on what side of history do you want to be on.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. I just get to thinking, like, the reason why it's so easy, because it's just like studying for spelling tests. Do you actually consider memorization learning? Because if I'm programmed to regurgitate that, then do I really know that? Or am I just presenting what is expected? And so that's kind of what you're seeing with the people in, that you're dealing with on a day-to-day. They're more worried about looking sane or making sense or looking logical than just speaking what comes from their heart. I mean, and then if they say something that is not the norm, I have to question you and say, what, where did you get your baseline from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what you are up against. You are up against saying something is normal, and then you have to really figure out where you got that idea from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
and now you got two ideas of norm. You got two ideas of normal. Your dysfunctional family norm, and then whatever you got from school, plus whatever you got from TV. You mix it all up in one pot, and you get more dysfunctionality. That's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And you better get discernment. You better have some discernment so you can know the real from the fake, and really be able to see what is real. Because everything that glitters ain't gold. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would say this generation is really, really invested in the glitz and the glam of it all. You know, that's what this social media is doing. It is sensationalizing these things that really should not be sensationalized, such as sex. You're sensationalizing sex, and then these kids out here going to have it. Now they got a baby. See, they ain't sensationalizing having these kids and burping them and cleaning them diapers and all of that. But it's sensational to watch. But sensational what? But that baby, that baby gonna be there 18 years and for the rest of your life. But you responsible to get them from the root to the tooth, at least. So I question these grown ass parent childs, and I question these millennials that sitting around here making it easy on them. Hold parents accountable.
And I mean, I know we go top of the hour. I just say the thing that I think that we gotta know ourselves so much that we gotta know what we are thinking subconsciously as a person, you know, mentally, because all this programming is subconscious. You know, most of the time we think we running the show. Most of the time we are being programmed by our subconscious mind, and that's what we fixate on things the most. So it's like you thinking you living a free life, and the whole time you on that program. You know what I mean? It's like we gotta start to know the difference. So, I end it on that.
Cool beans. We're at the top of the hour. Thank you for listening to Black Sister Talk.
My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. I like this tone. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. I sit in silence and find whenever I meditate. My fears alleviate, my tears evaporate. My faith don't deviate, ideas don't have a date. But see, I'm growing and getting stronger with every breath, bringing me closer to heaven's doors with every step. As we speak, I'm at peace, no longer scared to die. Most niggas don't believe in God, and so they terrified. It's either that or they be fearing they gon' go to hell. Asking the Father for forgiveness got them overwhelmed. As it be spiteful, like them white folks that control the jail. See, I believe if God is really never judge a man, because he knows us all and therefore he would understand. The ignorance to make a nigga take his brother life, the bitterness and pain that got him beating on his wife. Like, I know you desperate for a change, let the pen glide. But the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from
I see men cry, but the only real change come from inside. But the only real change come from inside. But the only
get on my handles, can I ball, become a star and remain myself. If I fall, dust it off and regain myself. Fuck them all, they don't know all the pain I felt. I'm in awe, after all the fame I felt, I evolve. I no longer bury demons, I be a vessel for the truth until I'm barely breathing. I'm singing.
It's all about the evolution.
I give up, I'm back a little. I lift up, I look up, now I'm back for more.
You can dream, but don't neglect the execution.
Like to finally be the motherfucking man. Eyes wide, that's from the power that the coward feels. Niggas die for bitches disrespecting dollar bills. Bloodshed then turn the city to a battlefield. I call it poison, you call it real. That's how you feel.
Pistols be popping and niggas dropping a heartbeat. Scattered like roaches, a body laid on the concrete. Body laid on the concrete. Look, somebody laid on the concrete. No time for that, ain't no looking back, cause I'm running too. I made it home, I woke up and turned on the morning news. Overcame with a feeling I can't explain, cause that was my nigga James that was slain. He was 22.
Last night, around...
He was 22.
22-year-old black male suspect.
Because you never know what life is going to take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now looking at 30 and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today. I was always too concerned about what everybody would think. But I can't live for everybody. I gotta live my life for me, yeah. I preached a fork in the road of my life. Ain't nothing gonna happen unless I decide.
I choose
to be the best that I can be.
I choose
to be authentic in everything. Some painful things I thought that I would never make it through. Filled up with shame from the top of my head to the soles of my shoes. I put myself in so many chaotic circumstances. By the grace of God, I've been given so many second chances. But today I decided to let it all go. I'm dropping these bags, I'm making room.
Everything I do, my past don't dictate who I am. I choose
take it, you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Hey, you lose the guilt about my things happen the way they think this life is gonna do what it
does. Here's your time for an Awakening Media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, with host Brother Oshi, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., same time, same place. Continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Mawia Kambom, and Sister Nataki Kambom, 9 p.m. till 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations, first and third Mondays. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Boniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening, with creator of Time for an Awakening and host, Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk, with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out, get informed, and get informed.
You are listening to Black Sister Talk, So You Can Breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
So let's get back into it. Thank you all for listening to Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. So I think we got right into it on the beginning of the discussion, hitting it right from the jugular. Come on now, hitting on that respect, hitting on some of these things that these parents just do not want to take ownership of. And so the second half will be about accountability. You know, how would you address breaking this cycle in your own home when dealing with the respect issues? Because what I do know is if that is wearing on the heart, you're going to always be trying to get that approval because that toxic relationship exists between you and that family member. So what are your thoughts about that? How do you feel about that?
I think for me personally, if somebody was going through something like that, I think the best thing of accountability is knowing that you know that somebody is not going to change. And sometimes we got to stop making unrealistic expectations about our family members, you know, and thinking that, you know, they're always going to be good. They're always going to be helpful when they really can't even do these things for themselves at times. So it's like, it's not fair to you to expect that. It's not fair to them. You know what I'm saying? To make them, you know, be perfect, but they're not, you know what I'm saying? So I think for me personally, though, dealing with accountability, sometimes you just got to learn how to just understand family on a deeper level than blood, you know what I'm saying, though, and understand that just because they blood don't mean they got access to you. It don't mean they got, you know, you should treat yourself like you a privilege, you know what I'm saying? And it should be a privilege for anybody to be in your space. And that includes toxic family members. If they're being toxic and they choose to be toxic and the first thing first is to have a conversation with them, knowing that they are grown-ass parent child. they're probably not going to want to have a grown-up conversation about that. So, let's keep that 100. They probably
So you got to be 100. Get on their level.
Right.
And that ain't always good neither. So deliver the information like you would to a three-year-old.
Pretty much. And you got to sit back and tell yourself, am I worth belittling what I got to say to make somebody talk 3 years old when they're supposed to be an adult? They're supposed to be a family member, though, that I'm supposed to respect, and I'm supposed to now talk to you on a level lower than what you need to be at, then that should be accountability.
The reason I say that 3-year-old comment, not necessarily for them, but for you, so that you keep your cool and your composure, because you don't really know you're running down a rabbit hole. So that not to get down necessarily on a 3-year-old level, but to create a safety guard for yourself where you say, okay, this is a 3-year-old I'm talking to, how would I talk to a 3-year-old? You wouldn't cut the 3-year-old out. You wouldn't, the fire extinguisher would not be needed to cool you down talking to a 3-year-old, because you already know they don't understand.
Right. They're just going to say and do what they want to say.
You got to get that off of you.
I agree with everything you're saying. I'm with you 110%. I just think the best thing first is just try to explain to them, try to communicate to them that, you know, I don't like that you do these type of things, or, you know, or is there a way that we can compromise in the situation, or is there a way that we can, you know, talk from an eye-to-eye level, though? If my accountability for me personally is if I continuously keep on asking for that, and I'm trying to be respectful about it, I'm trying to be considerate about it, I'm trying to compromise about it, and I'm not getting that same thing back in return, I got to do what I got to do and step back and just feed you with a long-headed spoon. You know what I'm saying, though? Because I got to hold myself accountable for that. You know what I'm saying? Because if that happens to me again, I want to hold myself accountable to know what I'm about to do next. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, so it's like, I think on my end, I know it's probably best for that. Now, I don't want to do that to a family that I love and people that I want to connect with, but at the same time, it's like I'm starting to drop the family and go to find my soul tribe, people that I know is going to encourage me, is going to acknowledge, is going to, you know, let me see things in a better light. Let me see things that inspire me, challenge me, you know what I'm saying? Have something to bring to the table, you know what I mean? So it's like, the accountability is sometimes that you gotta leave them alone. You know what I'm saying? That is the only accountability I have for me sometimes, because it's just like I'm 32, about to be 33. I'm in my prime. I'm in my adult life. You know what I'm saying? And I know that if I need to go do something different, I need to look at myself at that and be like, okay, then if I know I got family members though that I know is toxic, or I know that if I interact with them, though, I might not be able to be my best version of who I know I can be. I need to know how to tell them no and to start telling myself yes. Now, that could be something different for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? But for me, that's how I'm seeing it. I'm like, I got to tell you no, because I got to start telling myself yes more to be like, you know what? I need to see what I'm going to do in my life. I'm not a kid. You know what I'm saying? Just because my parents as child that really want to still be kids, that don't mean that I got to be a kid with them.
Bingo. 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 Because that's what it is. That's what it really is. It's recognizing that you are no longer a kid and that you are no longer obligated to do these things that you have been doing, and that has become second nature to you because you have kept yourself in this kid realm. You're no longer a kid. But see, they got you thinking you're a kid whenever you around your parents. Your parents are like, please believe me. I don't care if you 45, you still my baby, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to always be my kid. And that, you know, and then when you get in that situation, you revert back to that childlike state of mind. It's like, oh, no, you don't. We ain't going to do that today. See, you going to hold yourself accountable, and I'm going to hold myself accountable to hold you accountable. So I will not create a codependent relationship. I will not allow myself to fall for your manipulation, because I think we also talked about that a lot, too, at that last conversation, the narcissistic personality of the parent when dealing with you, the child, and wanting to have their way. You see these temper tantrums. We see these threats. We see all these other weird behaviors. Like, how old are you? You know, those kinds of things. So that kind of stuff shows up too, and you just be like, wow. You know, I hope I don't act like that when I get your age, you know, or what's going on internally with you? What is the conflict? So that's also interesting to kind of unpack and look at. I think some other things we need to touch on in this last 40 minutes or so. We need to touch bases on just looking. We've already talked about how this plays out in family. So let's try to shift gears and look at, I think I even touched bases a little bit about how this has changed in relationships. When talking about these couples and group couples and having two relationships. I don't even know if that's even a relationship. I just think that person's single and dating everybody. But dynamic things that's happening, and it's new, and I'm not interested to find out about it, but it is new and radical, like I was saying earlier. And I'm almost thinking that them being able to tap into their sexual freedom as well has been liberating in some new ways and may have created some artistic fluidity in other departments in these young folks' lives. And this ain't not new. Like you said, this ain't not new under the sun. This stuff was just more undercover. I say everything that's happening that we're talking about in this conversation, I think it has been happening all along, but I think that these things and these happenings have been more so secretive and that they have not had the light shined on them. Just like we're seeing all of this lesbian and gay and homosexual love affairs and almost got their own soap operas and stuff now. You know, back in the day, I can't even think of the guy name who played the daddy on the Brady Bunch, but this guy whole time is gay. You know what that did to me when I found out. What? Jack Tripper, wait a minute. He did what? Say that again. Y'all messing up my whole Nick and Knight. You know what I'm saying? Millennials, the millennials out there listening, y'all know what I'm talking about. Nick and Knight was all we had. You know? Don't mess that up for me. I can't even. You see, I forgot his name. I had to forget his name because I don't want to. That's how we deal with our trauma. I don't want to believe that. That was traumatized. You know, we gotta look at that kind of stuff. Things that's like that. This stuff is just becoming more in the forefront, and it's like everything's gonna be okay. Hey, you can be purple if you want to be purple. You can be blue if you want to be blue. And I think it's just something empowering about telling people you can be whoever you want to be, so you don't keep living in this box, you know, and creating this depression. People's depressed. Oh, I hate my life. I hate this. And I ask them the magic question, you know, and if this wasn't a problem, how would you be living right now? What would you be doing? And they can't even think about what they would be doing. I'm like, come on now. You're just bullshitting me. You can't even think about what things would be like, even if this wasn't a problem right now. Oh, we got to learn how to problem solve. We got to learn how to look at new ways of doing things. Because I could tell you that the body the good Lord gave you is very capable and able. We just got to think about how it is you're going to accomplish things. You know, that kind of stuff. But let me know outside that box on that kind of thing. Especially the generation right underneath it. I got a sibling and I'm like, look at the mind. I mean, these kids out here selling products from they bedroom and thrifting and upcycling and just doing all kinds of creative things to make money. They're telling their parents you poor and they're getting rich off YouTube and telling them you my slave. You know.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. I'm telling you. You better say.
That's what you got going on.
I think it's that rites of passage. I think, like we said before, like we, the older generation got to pass it to us, and I think the millennials, we gonna pass to younger generations. Though I mean, and I think that's a good point there, because I mean, I see it already with the younger generation already. Though the younger generations are coming out smart, educated, bright. You know what I'm saying? They want to be baby entrepreneurs. They look, you know, we watched the movie Baby Boss. I thought Baby Boss was a great movie for that generation, though, because that's what they come out as sometimes. You know what I mean? They just, they have a great sense of direction of what they want in their life, and they're not willing to put 1 + 1 to make it 2. You know what I mean? And I think that's where I think we are with the antebellum. We need the antebellum to happen so that we can allow the newer generation to have a space where they can develop and grow. You know what I'm saying, though? So they can be little baby entrepreneurs, though. So they probably going to bring, you know, and we need the economic wealth back in the Black community. It's going to be them baby, that generation after us. You know what I mean? And I think the point is, though, with the millennials, that in order for the new generation to have that space, the millennials, I think we are so good at acknowledging corruption. I think we are like system busters, you know what I'm saying? We acknowledge that it's a flaw in a lot of this stuff that we talk about, like politics, family, religion. We are in like the clash of all of that, right? So we're going to have a different approach about it, you know what I'm saying? But I think us having that approach is allowing the younger generation to have that space where they can just grow up. You know, they ain't got to be the fighters like we are. They can just go be unconditional lovers that just love what they do and really can be who they need to be at. But, you know, once again, it got to start with somewhere, you know?
Listen, I hear you, but all this sensitivity, come on. That stuff going a little bit too far. I mean,
the agenda too.
Generation just soft. I got to be real.
Definitely.
The men ain't men no more. That kind of stuff, you know. What's happening here? What are we dealing with? You know, that programming is not always as good.
Because, like I said
earlier, you see all this stuff going on the TV, that's a lot of corruption. That stuff get embedded in your brain. You get to being curious about things you should never even been damn curious about.
That's real. Oh, for sure.
You ready to slap the hell out yourself. Like, why did that curious thought come to my mind? What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Now you're in there going to get your Bible and trying to find that one scripture your uncle or your auntie then taught you that you forgot. To the light, because you know you don't remember that. And see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we need our elders for, to keep us grounded and give us that type of knowledge. Because some of that knowledge is lost. Like I said, your mothers, they've been out here partying, doing the do. They don't remember no damn scripture. They just now coming back to the church. We got to be real here. We can't act like mother been in the church all along. Everything been right. No, there has been some shifts in your family. That you have seen some people doing well, and you've seen some people falling, and then hell, about 10-15 years later, you see them getting their shit back together. This is life. People going through things. Things is changing constantly. You growing and they growing too, just at a different pace and a different place in their life. And so we have to always be cognizant of that when we're dealing with people and show that gratitude and understand that people are all growing at their own paces and give that benefit of the doubt. Otherwise, you're being way too critical over situations where you have these expectations that people just are not equipped. They're not equipped at this stage. They got to go through it to learn. Now, you keep going through it and you ain't learning. Now, listen, somebody got to have a talk with you because you ain't paying a damn attention. There has to be a new way at some point, which brings me to this spirituality, because you might not remember that scripture. Okay, you might not remember that scripture, but you do understand that there is a God. You know, everybody not into Jesus, I believe that everybody has their right to believe what they want to believe. But these millennials, they're not into the J word. They are into God. They are into spirituality. I'm not bashing Jesus at all. I'm not bashing Jesus, Buddha, Allah. I don't bash no God. I don't bash nothing to nobody. because you can be. But what I've seen and what I've experienced, and anybody else that don't agree with me, that's fine too. You definitely are entitled to your opinion. But what I have seen these days is more spirituality. I've seen people getting more in tap with themselves and intuition. I've seen people getting more in tap with the solar plexus and the universe and understanding how they connect with that more than anything these days. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying, hey, these things, again, like we said, this stuff ain't unheard of. It's just not really discussed in the way that it needs to be. And therefore, these messages get lost. And so we have to begin to sit down and tap into our true selves and looking at how we lived, which is pretty challenging because that information, they try to burn, bury, and rebuke and call it something else. Take the black. You ever go to a Word document and you trying to find a word, so you find it, but then you stumble up upon that one button that says replace, and you figure out that you can take one word and replace it with everything else in that document? Oh my God, saved my life in undergrad, you know, just really learning these types of tools to navigate writing papers and doing researches and things like that. You know, that kind of tool is the same way they have done our history. They have taken out that word and replaced it with that of which is not the truth. And so when you get it, this seems European to you, where really some of the European stuff you think is European really is your shit. They just dress it up as their white doll. So you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. Because they replace and put the white word in there, and you're like, oh, okay, that's European. No, that's your information. That's who you are, what you are, what you need to be doing. But they told you it's them. So now you confused and don't know what to do. You're like, is this programming? Is this me? Is this, what is this?
Mm-hmm. A lot of information. A lot of information. Yeah, that's exactly.
Misinformation.
Yeah,
so I definitely
agree with that. You got discernment, though. I mean, but you know, but it going back to the intuition and the inner self, because I think I kind of agree with you more just with the spirituality piece, is that I think that's really probably the biggest conflict, because I think on a newer side, I think a lot of times why a lot of newer ages don't deal with spirituality is because they've seen so many religious people do BS. You know what I'm saying? Think about the modern altar and go to the church, you know, and do stuff like that. Eventually, though, they probably went to church and seen that, oh, these church folk ain't really acting church-like, you know what I'm saying, though? And that probably made them not want to go into the church. And I think the beautiful thing about the new generation is that we just spiritual people in general, you know what I'm saying, though? And I think we already put it down that we don't need to go to the church because the church is inside of us. And I think the old people will probably look at that and be like, oh my God, you're just talking crazy. You don't want to go to church. But it's like, nah, I think the new generation already got that down pat. I think the new generation has picked up on the crystals. They have picked up on astrology, numerology. They want to have more answers. And I think they have a higher curiosity. You know what I'm saying? And I think you got to look at the fact, though, even around 2000, though, where all these books started coming out. I mean, they had Amazon that came out with the bookstores. The bookstores are more online. You know, anything that you wanted, it was on the internet. So I think a lot of times the older generation had to settle with some of their religious, with the Bible, because that's all they really had as a reference. You know what I'm saying? And when by the time the millennials came into the picture, and we went into 2000, we started hitting all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? We were reading anything you wanted, you could have in your library. It wasn't about, you didn't have no access to it. You know, so I think that sometimes, though, we know more because we have been around information all our life. You know what I'm saying? So we would have a better way of having discernment for it, because we know BS when we see it, you know, or, you know, we probably heard the truth in a lot of ways and we see the public don't even talk about it. You know, we find out that, okay, just because the masses don't know don't mean that it's false. You know what I mean? It's like little things like that. But I think the newer generation, I mean, I'm on that side of the spiritual side, though. I mean, I'm not no person to just downplay Jesus' work. I think the Bible is a very unique scripture, and I think that it takes a very prophetic person to be able to catch that message in that book to really give it the context that it needs to, you know, explain it in a way where it can be helpful to other people. But I think we live in a great world now where you don't need to have all the discernment. You can go get some spirituality in other ways, though, and still get to that same mark, you know. So I think, well, you know, I think the newer generation is starting to see that, you know, some progress is better than no progress.
I just think it just come real plain and simple to me. You a slave, you come to work on this plantation, we're going to put a Bible in every one of y'all hands. Come on. It's no brainer. What's up? Moving on. You know, that's just as plain and simple. We're going to get y'all all a Bible. Y'all going to read it. Go ahead. Y'all, mind you, they wasn't reading Bibles where they came from.
Right.
And so our white Jesus is here to save you from that long ass journey you just took across that ocean on that Amistad, on that boat. You know, come on. This stuff is just crazy to me. I'm almost ready to say, what's up with the slave stuff? Because how are you going to tell
me? You better say it. That's right.
That it wasn't 150 damn Nat Turners running around this joint on each plantation. I mean, the description of some of these brothers, you know, man.
It's deep. Man, I'm telling you, it's deep, LaWanda. It's deep because, I mean, sit back and think about it now. I think you got to look at consciousness. Our consciousness is rising, and I think we gotta acknowledge that that's happening collectively. Because I mean, nowadays people are now starting to see that maybe the blacks were the Indians that people were talking about. Maybe we was the indigenous tribe the whole time.
No.
Just merged them.
There is no maybe about that. Because if you say maybe, then you may be thinking Christopher Columbus maybe sounds. Come on, I mean, seriously.
Right.
This has just been the theme of it all since day one. You know, they lie, cheat, and steal, and they have change history to make you look like the liar, the cheater, and the thief. And that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. Even in the headlines and the media, everything they can control, they will say you are what they are. What?
You will
go right here on national TV and call a black person a liar, cheater, and a thief. In the same breath,
mm-hmm.
You are not taking accountability for this kind of stuff that's going on. For every situation that you have put your hands in, you have began to be the weight on our backs. And we're still trying to starve you to get you off. This is ridiculous because we are dealing with this, the product of this in our homes with this yes ma'am and no ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with this in our homes with our parents, not getting the education they could have been getting because they already had it in their mind and in their blood that they weren't going to get nowhere. This stuff is running deep on our backs because we still, and when I say we, I'm talking about a collective. We still mm-hmm. have not gained our own economy. We still worried about Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. We're still worried about
it. Yep. But I think credit, I don't know much of, you know, I listen to a lot of people out here, but like to Trick Machine and to people out here, though, that you start to see that Black people are still trying to find a radical group. Black people are starting to get on cold a little bit more. And I think that, I believe there's another person out there with the ADOS movement too. Whatever that movement is, the America Descendant of Slaves, or even the Foundation of Black American, it still lets you know that as Black people collectively, we are starting to be radical about what we're going to get out of this too, you know? So once again, that works into the newest generation, you know what I mean? Because we sitting here saying, like, where our reparations at? We want the check.
How about this? Is y'all still worried about the check when the land has been yours and already is yours? You just let them know that this is my land, I know it, and y'all need to get with the program. Come on,
that's
now. It ain't that hard. It's just a common sense. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, you fearful of who you are. You are a true Aboriginal. Mm-hmm. You are the true Aboriginal person. There is no maybe you were.
There was
white Native Americans. Them people was black.
Black.
They didn't come from Africa. They was already here. They black Americans. Now, them folks came from Dutch, Germany, all them other places. They weren't here in America.
Better say it. I'm going to chime in and
tell the truth about the caucus and all that stuff that's going on. Because he's a historian. And I don't pretend to be, but I know enough to tell you we already been here.
Amen.
And they doing everything they can to make you think you ain't from here with the Social Security card and the birth certificate and everything they can do with a piece of paper to prove something. Black people get married, they jump the broom. We got to sign a piece of paper. You got to put your fingerprint, all kind of stuff almost to get married these days. Like, what are you doing?
Better say it. Indeed, that's what I'm trying to say. That's why I was great to have that conversation, because I was saying, like, in 2020, even just saying that we Black Americans, I mean, 10, 20 years down the line, that we wouldn't even be talking like this. You know what I'm saying? So I think, just like what you were saying before, though, I think it's a collective. When I say me, I mean all my Black people. You know, we got to look at the fact that our consciousness is getting to a higher level. You know what I'm saying? Because the things that we didn't want to believe or thought was not true 5, 10 years ago, we are starting to see that, you know, these are prophecies that's happening right now in 2020, you know. And I think that goes with a lot of credit to the newer generation that's going against the grain, that's going against the traditional norms, to say pretty much we're not going to have this anymore. We got to start looking in the present and start seeing what we are looking at instead of trying to see what we think we're looking at or trying to perceive something that's not really there, you know. And just like that conversation right now about, you know, that's a powerful conversation to say that, you know, we wasn't slaves. We was really like Black Americans on this country. I think even with that context with that, hopefully we have a discussion about that in a later podcast about that, though, because that's a different context to go look at as you being an Aboriginal, you know, to this land than being a slave that came in. You know what I mean? So I think that's an interesting dialogue.
That's why them Aboriginal people were looking at them. Them Aboriginal people had damn slaves, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what they had slaves too. This has always been a consumeristic market. Okay, and it's just continued to evolve and be upcycled in another way, you know. And in this present day, anybody can be a slave. I mean, even looking at the movie Antebellum, you know. And what even though we're not really talking about the movie Antebellum, just let's use that as an example right now, though. What's her name? Janelle Monáe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Looking at that movie, and that one line in the movie where they say, we are everywhere but nowhere at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just working out here dealing with people who are being trafficked. You know, these people had a modern day plantation that was a few miles off from a antebellum reenactment where people were out there shooting guns north versus south. You know, I ain't gotta give you the history on that. But the antebellum, these white men, they get dressed up and they go out there and they do these war reenactments. And you think, I know if you probably like me, you'd be like, that is about the dumbest damn thing you could do. Because that, to me, that says you openly going out there as a racist. if you were the wrong color. So I know who you are and what you about. But the point of the me bringing this up is this. These people will take you and use you, okay? And use you till you're no good. And that's exactly what they did. They trafficked these people for labor, for their entertainment, to recreate the old South, 1800 South. That's what they wanted, the 1800s period, where they could beat you and hog tie you and disrespect the hell out you. And that was going on in present day. However, they had these people on a plantation where they just really, I mean, kind of, you know, mind screwing as that. You know, you was just living a regular life and then they take you and slave you. You know, that's what we up against now. Every day and everywhere we're dealing with enslavement. We're just content with having our families and not getting our asses whipped with a real whip. But we're still getting our asses whipped in other ways that don't even need to have physical touch to our bodies, because touching our mind, which is definitely affecting our body. And so they have tapped into trauma and understanding how it breaks you down physiologically. And so they don't ever have to put their hands on you. Never. All they got to do is keep you living in poverty and ghettos and redlining you in Milwaukee so you can't buy a home where you need to buy a home, and don't give you a loan you need to push your small business because they don't think your business is nothing. That's how they're going to keep you whipping your ass. You know, that's how that's this modern day slavery, and it's just coming through your pockets because you got to have money to move.
I have nothing to say about that. You better keep talking to me, because that's the truth. Gentrification, you know, up in the city, moving you out, you know, moving you out of your own, disenfranchising you out of your own community. I mean, they doing that, though, because they know you ain't got the books, you ain't got the money to compete with them. So it's like they got us living in terror and, you know, and fear, basically. Got us pretty much living in survival, let's just say that. You know what I'm saying, though, where we're not even acknowledging that the overlay is the underplay. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, we are being, it's like Stockholm Syndrome, basically. It's like we know the trauma that has happened to us, though. We know that this has been going on, but it's like, it's deep. It's a deep conversation, because, I mean, when you sit back and think about slavery and that we in a home enslaving our children, and then the children are enslaving themselves, doing staying a child, and now they having kids. It's just like we are, like what you say, it's enslavement, though, and don't nobody want to get up because they're scared to get their ass whooped. I mean, so I have to agree with you on that one. But, I mean, what can we do differently? I mean, we got, are we afraid to die? You know what I'm saying? People don't want to die, but it's like we already got a dead mentality, you know?
Now, you know what? You saying the word ready to die, you must be trying to awaken Sister Mariah. I'm trying to tell you, because she'll get up and tell you, I'm ready to die for this shit right now.
Hey.
Because I am tired, and I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so that's what it's going to take. It's going to take some of that, I'm sick and tired. It's going to take somebody to jump off that bridge and put their neck out there. But let me tell you what happens when it happens. And this is why it don't happen. Because we can have that bystander effect where you know you need to stand up and say something, but you don't. It's like when you at church and they say, if you want to be saved, go ahead and make that chance right now. Stand up and come on, we just need 15 people. And you know you feeling in you, you need to stand up, but you sit your ass down. That's that bystander effect. That's you getting in the way of you. Okay, that's what that is. And that's what you're going to. Because again, these people not ready to address self. They having issues with addressing themselves. They damn sure not ready for a radical movement. They not ready to address self. That's why we still in the same damn place we been at, talking about Democrats and Republicans. That's why we are still in that place right now.
You better say it. Like, we can address everything
because
except
you
self.
Ain't addressing self. It's easier for me to put it off on you to do what's right for me. When that never made no damn sense to me. That's just complete mentality. All right, Master, I'll take them chitlins. That's all. All right. I'll take the ham hock. That's all. You know, that's how that come across. All right, well, fuck it. It ain't nothing but the snout left. All right, I'll take it. We'll make a soup out of it. You know, whatever. And then your parents and your elders, they'll be calling you up again, shit. They'll be like, you up again. You don't want no pig chitlins. You don't want no snout. You don't want none of this. What? Come on, man.
But you know what? That goes into a good question, though. What happens when a person want to liberate themselves, though, and still got to be, you know, bogged down by their family? Like what you said about the diet. You know, think about the ones that want to be vegetarian and be a vegan, and then they got to go to their family house, though, and got to be, like, scolded. Or, you know.
They better bring a Tupperware, because ain't nobody cooking that shit at the house. I'm going to tell you that right now. Respect yourself and bring your own food, because grandma ain't about to change none of that. Grandma's still finna put them neck bones in them grits. And you ain't about to stop her. You ain't about to change her faith. You ain't about to tell her she the true Jew. You ain't about to tell her that you the Pope of the world. You ain't about to change her white Jesus. You ain't about to do none of that. So don't even come up in our house trying to send your grandma to an early grave, because you're going to send her ass into a heart attack and traumatize the hell out of her. So don't do that. Because you should know better. You can't change somebody like that. You can't change. That's Southern folks that come from the South. You can't change that. You can't change that. And I'm not here to try to change it. I'm just here to say I recognize you. I see you for who you are. I respect you. But that's not how I'm going to choose to live my life. That's why I love that song. I think that's N.B.R. Reed. I choose. I get to choose. And it's not no longer a matter of either or. I mean, I have options where I can sit down and do some research and figure out what is going to be best for me. And see, that's something our ancestors did not have to do. Our ancestors didn't have that opportunity to choose. And so because I have an opportunity to choose, I'm not going to sit here and take that for granted. I'm going to sit up here and really try to liberate myself and see what the choice looks like. I'm going to see what it looks like to go to college. I'm going to see what it looks like to get a career and not have to live off the government, because somehow that has become the way to live, migrating from the north to the south, you know, living off low income, trying to be in an apartment that ain't going to cost me now but $25 a month for rent or whatever. Ain't nothing wrong with it if you got to do it. But you ain't got to do it forever. Don't make it a forever. Make it a leg up. Make it a stepping stone for the rest of your life. That's what I would say. Use those opportunities and these resources that become available to you so that you can put yourself in the best position for yourself. Enrich your mind. Cultivate your brain. Do more reading. Do more meditating. Do more soul seeking. And if you can go to church, go ahead and go to church, because let me tell you something. The reason why we got a lot of spirituality is because the parents did not teach you who God was. See, I don't got nothing against Jesus. I don't got nothing against it. However, you want to acknowledge the higher being. But I need you to understand why people are choosing these routes and looking at these kinds of things, because that was not brought up in them. That was not put in them growing up. So you got to figure out who you are on your own, because you see what you can be if your mama or daddy rip around the streets, locked up in jail, got mental health issues. I mean, all these things that kind of enter the household. And not only the negatives, there are some positives too. Mothers who are working. We didn't even get on the parents that have to work constantly and cannot even be in the home to raise their children. kids is raising themselves. All they have is their intuition and themselves to count on when they're experiencing traumas and they can't talk to nobody about it. Come on now, these kids out here seeing and knowing what talking about their trauma may do to their parents. Hell, these kids are smart. They see these people are weak. They look at their parents and they're like, damn, my daddy was weak, man. I can't count on them. They don't even think of you as a hero. They looking at you like you their kid. That's what we up against.
I mean, you couldn't say it no better, though. I mean, I think we up against a whole lot, but I think, like what you said before, though, is that we got to do whatever it takes to know who we are as a person, and sometimes that takes doing the inner work and whatever it costs. And I mean, however we choose to do it, it's just the longer we get to that destination, we will be all right. Because, I mean, I know in New School, like what you said, that they don't like the word with the J in it. I think a lot of times, though, we got to look into our numerology. We got to look into our astrology. We got to look into, you know, other avenues that help us learn what that is, you know. And I'm so glad that we got a platform like this where we can have these real conversations, though, but still, you know, give alternative ways of how we can get to that point of knowing who we are as a person. Because, you know, that's what it's going to take. And like what you said before, though, about the older generation, though, and the young generation, the young do look at them like, you know, why was you not there for us? And then you got to look at how the family uplift these people that might not be a truthful reality for how these kids really see them. You know what I mean? And a lot of times when the kids like, I'm not, you know, we just don't have no time to fake it. I think we live in a fake world, but I think a lot of times, though, we have people now that don't want to fake it no more, and they want to keep it real, and they're going to keep it real at whatever it takes, you know. And for those, I just say salute to them and just, you know, and know that it's not an easy road being the black sheep, but I guarantee you, though, the more that we come together and we have these platforms like here and just social media, and we can just talk about this type of stuff, though, I know that we just got to find our tribe. I think that's what it really boiled down to for me, is that, you know, we got to get away from people that's not going to work and go find people that we know is going to work. And that start with just, you know, knowing yourself and just vibrating at a level where you can attract people, though, that's like-minded like yourself, you know, to help inspire you to become your greatest version, not only for yourself, but for your ancestors.
We ain't even got enough time to talk about that vibration, because that vibration is a real thing. And in order to cultivate that vibration, you're going to be having to make sure you're putting the right things in your body as well as into your mind, because that is a balance like no other. And so when I say protect your inner energy, that's all about that vibration. All about that vibration. And so you will become susceptible to certain things if you're not aware. You will easily be led into the fire. And no doubt in my mind about that. And so I'm really glad that we did have an opportunity to talk about this millennial antebellum and paying attention to this calm before the storm. And so the storm is actually doing it. The storm is actually breaking away from that cycle and, you know, being who you need to be to create succession in your family, to create a legacy in your family, to move forward, whatever forward is. I don't try to make super high expectations. I tell you, just like this, if my mother went to high school and got a high school diploma, my goal in life was to make sure I did just that and went to college. And I can be very proud to say I did just that and went to college and then went to get my master, and I will soon be in a program for my PhD. And so it's just a blessing to be able to sit here and talk about breaking cycles and recognize some of the cycles that I have already broken and some of the ones that I'm already on the verge of breaking and I'm continuing in the process to do. And so it's not easy, and it is definitely a challenging thing to become the matriarch of your family at such a young age and have to take on a lot of those responsibilities that parentify you or give you the hero role or give you the role of the knower and the seeker of all things. And so that's a lot of responsibility. And I just thank, you know, those who have put me in this position and prepared me to be able to do it seamlessly. Some may say, who know me on the outside, they say, girl, you be handling that stuff seamlessly. And so it's nice to see that you guys think it's a seamless thing. But I could tell you one thing for anybody that has to do that kind of work. It is very challenging, and it almost becomes second nature to you and becomes seamless because that has been your life, you know. And so I just say to you to definitely focus on self-care and understanding that you are doing what you're doing for a reason. And as long as your reason is of righteousness, don't second guess what you are doing, because you will probably be your biggest critic and you will be the one who will get in the way of yourself. And so I would say to recognize that now so that you can persevere. Because the millennial antebellum is a war that will be won by those of the millennial tribe. And it's not to say that we are here to beat the elders. We are here to extend the olive branch and create succession in our futures. We're trying to get to Black Wall Street. That would never happen if this knowledge and these type of discussions are not had. And those things that have helped you, you can help me and save us some time so that those same mistakes are not repeated. We are going to have to be open-minded. Thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk. Have a great weekend.
Bye. Bye, everyone.